We got breaking news. James Comey indictment is imminent.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
That's right, you heard it here. James Comey, indictment imminent. I have to like make sure I say that right, Will, because I feel like it's a lot of I words back to back. So I did the tease a bunch of times. I'll be honest, that was not a one take. That was a couple takes there. But this is breaking news here. James Comey, of course, former FBI director. The sources are confirming. Sources are saying this is happening and it's happening very soon. And my dad, Jay Sekulow, who I don't know, had a little bit to do with a lot of that situation, is going to be on the broadcast coming up here in the next segment. So stay tuned for that. And then later in the show, we're going to hear from you. So give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. But Will, let's brief them on what's going on.
That's right. We knew that there had been a grand jury impaneled looking into some of these allegations against James Comey. But now it appears that the DOJ is prepared to ask for an indictment from this grand jury as soon as today. It appears they're looking at allegations he lied to Congress back in 2020. There'd be a 5-year statute of limitations on that, which would run out on Tuesday. So if they are going to ask for an indictment, it has to be in the next couple days.
Yeah, so I mean, it has to happen then. Okay, it's not something that's just theoretical up for discussion. And right now, we're obviously also monitoring President Trump. If you're watching this show live, that is from 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern time. That's right. So if you're watching live, it's 12:03, I think, or 12:02 Eastern time. President Trump's currently meeting with Erdogan, Turkey.
That's right.
Correct? So, I mean, that's something that we'll cover. If there's anything we feel like we need to pop in, it's a lot of trade discussion, a lot of discussion on their relationships with Russia. And we'll keep you updated if there's anything like that to continue on. But, of course, Comey having the situation where he has essentially even admitted to lying in many ways, saying, you know, that he had leaked things to the press or leaked things to his friend to then leak to the press, and then to go and say, hey, I didn't leak anything. You know, very semantics game played by James Comey. Of course, he obviously has had so many issues come up, including even as recently as Shellgate, just a few months ago.
That's right. Yeah, where he found those shells in the sand that said 8647. We do know that he has been an antagonist to President Trump for years. He used his power as the FBI director to get involved with an election, whether it be the way he handled the Hillary Clinton email scandal or what he did in the wake of that after President Trump was President-elect Donald Trump and the way that he operated his FBI. It was not something that should happen in the United States of America. Now, what we will see is if the grand jury, when they are asked by the DOJ to indict him, if they will indeed indict him, and then where it goes from there. And those are things that we're going to talk with your dad about in the next segment, what this would look like, what a trial would look like. It's in the Eastern District of Virginia, how that would play in, and a lot ahead.
The implications are, I mean, Comey would become the first former, I'm reading it exactly so you get it right, James Comey would become the first former senior government official to face prosecution in connection with one of these grievances. He would be one of the first times in these kind of situations where an indictment actually happens, goes through, and we get this far. So what does that look like? You're going to find out, and you're going to hear a lot more from my dad coming up, Jay Sekulow, chief counsel of the ACLJ. We'll give you a little bit of brief background on our involvement in all of this over the years. Maybe some of you are brand new and don't know how long we've been working on these kind of situations with President Trump or the previous Trump administration. So stay tuned for that. It's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of interesting content coming here. I say fun in the sense of, look, we've had a lot of dark days over the last couple weeks. So to have a break here, we can actually just discuss what's going on a little bit in the news, and maybe it's not a life or death situation, is a bit of a relief. It's weird to say that indictments can be reliefs, but here we are. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. I actually just saw someone in the comments say, Logan, you should send in the clowns today. You know what? I haven't done that in a long time. Haven't felt appropriate. If you feel so led, send in the clowns. You know what to do. That's right. Put in the clown emojis. We'll be back in just a moment, but phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Welcome back to Seculo. My dad, Jay Seculo, is joining us as well. I didn't even get to introduce you earlier. Well, Will Haynes is joining us.
I'm right here.
Of course, that's as right. Always, but I just want to make sure. Actually, not as always. You were not here yesterday.
I wasn't here.
But as most of the time, we'll say that. But my dad, Jay Seculo, is joining us. Dad, obviously, this comes on the news this morning that was just breaking that James Comey is set to be indicted. That could happen at any time. Obviously, these are sources, but these are pretty reliable sources saying it's happening. Let's get your overall thoughts and also give people a background of why this is important to even the work that we're doing here.
Well, you know, of course, we were involved in this as lawyers for President Trump back when all of this was going on. This stems from, and this is what's important for people to understand, because a lot of people may not remember the details, stems from testimony given before the United States Congress, where, and Ted Cruz has pointed this out very well, that James Comey, when asked about this leaking of information, did not give a forthright answer. At least that's going to be the allegation. In other words, he did not tell the truth. He lied. It involved a situation where an individual that was a law professor received notes from James Comey after a conversation with the President of the United States. That law professor then leaked it to the press. James Comey asked about the leak, said, "I didn't leak anything to the press." And even more specific, Andrew McCabe, who I am no fan of, went before Congress and gave totally contradictory testimony. And I don't know if you all remember this. They were arguing with each other via then Twitter, now X, about who was telling the truth. I mean, there were these texts going back and forth. And this is a culmination of the unprofessional conduct, the illegal conduct, in my view, that James Comey engaged in as he was trying to basically, in a sense, blackmail the president. And that's a strong word to use, but I want to put it in a real context here. Remember, it was James Comey and Clapper and these others that went to the then president-elect in early 2017 before he was sworn in and went through that whole situation with the Steele dossier and the allegations. So James Comey also said three times in writing, well, it's to the president, actually, that he was not under investigation when, in fact, they already had opened up Crossfire Hurricane, and he was under investigation. So there's just these, you know, this is the guy that also, in the Hillary Clinton campaign, interfered with an election by getting out and saying she was first exonerated, then non-exonerated, and reopened again. And you just can't do that as the FBI director. He jumped over the attorney general, who is his boss, when he made these statements. So this is, in fact, a long overdue process. Now, overdue being by Tuesday, the statute of limitations on the lying to Congress allegation, if in fact that becomes the allegation or one of them, was to expire on Tuesday. So the grand jury is impaneled on Thursday to meet. That's what's happening now. And a lot of people expect a returning indictment sometime later today, or maybe it will be unsealed early next week.
As far as the process of this goes, we know that a lot of people in the press are reporting it is about, as you mentioned, the lying before Congress, that it could be things in addition to that. Those are the details we don't know at this moment. But once they take this and ask for an indictment before a grand jury, this is in the Eastern District of Virginia. What happens after that as far as process goes, so people can be looking forward to what could come out of this?
Once a grand jury, if in fact they what's called return, issue an indictment, that is then taken to the judge and the indictment is issued. James Comey would be arrested and processed. He'd probably return himself involuntarily, I suspect. And then the court proceedings start. So that's how it moves. It'll be handled by the United States Department of Justice. The Eastern District of Virginia appears where this indictment's coming out of. And they have an acting U.S. attorney who would be in charge of the case through the criminal division of their office. But it also may have main DOJ people involved as well. I'm sure it will, in the nature of the kind of case that it is.
In this kind of case, what's the timeline look like here? Because we know they have a couple of years left of a Trump presidency. And does that change? You know, could this indictment, this moment, kind of be reversed if we see the pendulum shift in just a couple of years?
Well, I mean, if the White House were to turn in 2028 to a Democratic president, he can order the Department of Justice to not move forward with that indictment. Now, if a case has been tried and a jury issues a verdict, whether it's guilt or innocence, not guilty or guilty, then you have a situation where once it's tried, it's done.
Realistically,
the president, a new president could, you know, if there was a sentence involved, a new president could waive the sentence or commute the sentence or even issue a pardon. But if it's not tried by then, yes, politically things can happen.
And
Department of Justice is part of the executive branch and the president is in charge of it.
Well, I see a lot of people talking about that, saying, well, you know, it took this long to just get to this point. Having a president, though, in place right now, could this be not fast-tracked, but something that is reasonable to get done within the next 24 months?
3 years is, you know, is reasonable, and that's what's left.
Yeah.
So, yes, I think the case could be tried within that period of time. There'll be motions, but this is a high-profile case. I think it'll move in an expeditious manner. But I do think that we have to remember that there will be, you know, James Comey will be entitled to counsel, and his lawyer will file motions to dismiss and motions to reduce the indictment. I mean, there'll be a whole series of legal work that goes in before trial. But you could see, I think it's possible that you could see a trial in, you know, in the next 18 months. Now, let me say something else here, because I see, you know, some people criticize this is so political. I can't believe that, you know, they're doing this. This is what the left's saying. They didn't say that when they went after President Trump, both while he was in office and then indicted him afterwards. So, you know, it's similar to what you all said yesterday, the double standard here when you were talking about the left wasn't saying much as conservatives were being, you know, censored by Google. And, you know, and of course, you know, Google came out and said we were pressured by the Biden administration. So it's the same kind of thing here. I mean, they forget where and what they have done to this sitting president while he was president and then after he was out of office. So, you know, they kind of opened this up in a sense.
And when you look at the entire justice system, once the indictment is returned, if it is returned, then it goes into a normal process. And this is the Eastern District of Virginia. This is obviously you bring charges against the person where the alleged crime would have happened. And we are in a place where there's a lot of government employees. There's a lot of bureaucrats that live in this district. And because of the nature of that, obviously, we believe in the justice system. But do you think the jury pool could be more difficult for the government because of the nature of what many of the people in that community do. They are government employees and may have already opinions on something like this. Does that become a hurdle for the DOJ in this?
I would say it's the risk of any time you go to trial. The Eastern District is called the Rocket Docket because it's known as one of the fastest and frankly one of the most efficient district courts in the country. And these cases tend to move fast. And you would think it'll be experienced prosecutors that will be bringing this action. But the jury's the jury. And you're not going to know that until it goes to trial.
Right.
All right. Well, hey, phone lines are open for you. I want to hear from you your thoughts on the James Comey potential indictment that could be coming at any time. Give me a call at 1-800-684-3110. Of course, it's a great time to support the work of the ACLJ. And, Dad, when these kind of things happen, you also know that our work, our FOIA work, our deep state work, really comes into really fruition here. You see the light at the end of the tunnel on some of these processes. I know a lot of people see what we've been doing for that for many, many years now. And here it is playing out in real time.
It is real time, and we were involved in it from the very beginning. There's not many lawyers that know more about this than our team here at the ACLJ and private lawyers who worked on this. But let me also say, Logan, it is a great time to support the work of the ACLJ on so many different fronts, and I encourage people to go to aclj.org, and if you can donate monthly, become an ACLJ champion. But we appreciate the support. A lot of work going on, a lot of new and exciting things going on. This will be a big one. We'll keep an eye on this very closely and keep everybody informed as it moves forward.
Yep, but we'll continue this discussion going forward. Again, thanks, Dad, for joining us today. Phone lines are open for you, as I said, at 1-800-684-3110. But the fight for justice continues on. We've been engaged in it for 35 years. You know, we've been celebrating 35 years of the ACLJ for the last half of the year or so. Big part of that is holding the deep state accountable. And with this potential Comey indictment coming, which could come in any moment, it's a reminder, again, that our work and our FOIA work, our Freedom of Information Act work, has taken on vital importance over the years as we fight back against years of lawfare, whether against President Trump or the Trump administration or us or really any organizations like ours. But it's only getting more intense. I mean, we've seen what's going on in the world, and the issues become more and more important. So in a couple days, I'll just give you a couple facts here. In days, we have two more vital deadlines, one involving the FBI's deep state. One vital FOIA we continue to work involves Comey placing spies in the White House. In total, we have 20 active Freedom of Information Act cases, several involving the FBI under Director Comey and Wray. Though sometimes the deep state seems like they remain as we still work that out, we have to be part of the team rooting it out. You can be part of that team too. So I encourage you, go to aclj.org. All I'm asking you to do right now is to sign a petition. That's at aclj.org/sign. aclj.org/sign. You'll see it right there on the homepage. We'll be right back.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Seculo. We're going to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110 as we continue our discussion about James Comey and some other heavy hitters. Maybe you heard of Letitia James. As things have been moving forward in those cases as well, we're going to talk about that. Let's first take a call real quick, though. Yeah. Hopefully a call will then spur you to call, which would be nice.
Some people are going to be real happy you're taking calls early. That's all I can say.
You know, and it's we're starting to get towards the end of the week, Will, and I have the...
You need more calls early on.
More calls to get us through an hour.
I hear you.
Joe!
Let's do it.
In North Carolina, come on and raise up. You're online, too. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
Hello, how are you doing? As I shared to the young man that answered the call, I'm glad to see that there are finally some indictments starting to possibly come down against all of this conspiracy that has gone on for the last 10 years against President Donald Trump. I'm not one of these people that take the news or the media at their word. I do my own research. I follow to make sure that what I'm hearing is fact-based and that has been proven. And there's a lot of things that have been brought to light by Cash Patel, by the CIA, by Tulsi Gabbard, that is being brought to light, and they are exposing these things that are legally documents showing what they've done.
Well,
and a lot of people like myself is wanting to know when these people going to start being held accountable, because there were a lot of people that were jailed, put in jail, wrongly tried for things that have been proven that they didn't do, but they had to go to jail. So now it's time for these people that have been doing this stuff to start being prosecuted and being held accountable for what they've done and go to jail.
Joe, I think that is what a lot of people, especially watching this broadcast, have been wanting for a long time, is that we've seen what's played out. We've seen the bad actors inside the government exploiting their positions to politicize their work, whether it be the FBI director, the former director of the CIA, the former director of national intelligence. All of those people, we knew that they were nefarious in their actions. We read the text messages between the FBI agents that were saying, don't worry, this will never happen. There will never be a Donald Trump president. And if there is, we've got the insurance policy. Uh-huh. We read it all. We've seen it all. And now we are seeing even more of that. How far deep it went. And you're right, that is where the frustration happens to many Americans, is that when will someone be held accountable for this
stuff? Yeah, you almost don't think it can ever happen in a weird way. Like, it just feels like we've gotten so close so many times to this sort of accountability culture, if you will, in terms of this, and it never seems to happen. It gets close. It gets, yes, Hillary Clinton did all these horrible things, but not horrible enough. And look, I'm not about going after your political opponents. I mean, when it comes to trumping up charges, doing things that are ridiculous. And the problem is we have that in the back of our head, because usually it's them coming after us. You know, it's usually coming after conservatives. So now that it's happened, you have a different FBI, you have a different CIA, you have to start treating them differently. And like I said, it's easy to see those three letters and not think Cash Patel, Dan Bongino, whoever it may be, Tulsi Gabbard, Pam Bondi, to see those three-letter organizations and not immediately go to corruption.
Right.
You know, and that's right. That's something that we've had to relearn last year.
Well, and I also think, to Joe's point as well, remember, once there's an indictment, we're still innocent until proven guilty in this country. The Department of Justice has to prove their case. They have to prove their case before a jury. So it doesn't necessarily even mean he will be found guilty. If they can't prove their case, if the jury decides to exonerate him, then that is something that could play out. So, and remember, this is what they're being talking about, is that this is a perjury charge against Congress. It's not a corruption charge or a RICO charge or something that, or a conspiracy charge that we're hearing about. So even that kind of is like, okay, well, they're going with what they can get or what they think they can get an indictment on because of statute of limitations. But once again, that's not even all of the corruption that we've seen. That wouldn't be accountability for all of that. So those are things to keep in mind as we go forward and keep watching this play out.
Now, Will, there are other people that are having some issues right now. We do know that Letitia James, I guess the mortgage fraud probe.
That's right.
Yeah. It is continuing on, pushing ahead with this investigation of the New York Attorney General, again, Letitia James, over those allegations. And again, this was after you had all those back and forths with Letitia James, President Trump. And of course, President Trump said, yeah, I think I want to push forward. I think I'd like to move forward with this.
Yeah. Well, this is one where there was basically the Federal Housing Finance Agency director, so a federal agency, made a criminal referral to the Department of Justice saying, hey, we're just looking over some stuff, and it appears that Letitia James committed mortgage fraud. She lied on these documents. There's even documents we found from back in the 80s that show this as a pattern, even though those would be outside the statute of limitations. So that's been being investigated, also out of the Eastern District of Virginia, and it appears that the DOJ is continuing to push ahead with this, meaning that they are still investigating and could bring this to a grand jury for charges against her, as well as John Bolton reporting yesterday that when they did the raid of John Bolton's house and office, they did find documents labeled classified, confidential, and secret. That is something that he went after President Trump so much. How reckless that he would have, as former president, secret documents at Mar-a-Lago. But once again,
it's like they have no memory of these things.
Right.
I mean, that I really do feel that way, that you get in this sort of blur of maybe it's kind of like us doing a show here. When you do a show 5 days a week, I can't recall what happened Tuesday at 12:23.
Right.
Because I don't know what I said then, because we're wheeling and dealing. We're doing an hour of essentially improv talk here every day. I feel like something happens to people where they're like, how dare you have confidential documents? And they're like, I would never do that. I would never, ever do that. And then you find out they did.
Right.
I don't know if it's always nefarious or if it's just...
It's a lot of hubris.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
It's like, I would never do such a thing. And then you find out, of course you did. And then even them are like, oh, dang it, I did. You know, or someone on my staff did. This is what happens here. But those are moving forward.
That's right. So once
again, a lot of things, heavy hitters. John Bolton, Letitia James.
We'll see what
James
happens.
James Comey.
But if they move forward, this is a lot of these people will be getting charged with something that they were critical of the president saying he was doing. This goes back to that thing that I know Rick Grenell says a lot on this broadcast, that when the left accuses you of something, they're probably doing it themselves. That's what this entire pattern has seemed to show. They said that President Trump was colluding with Russia to interfere in the election. In reality, it was the deep state colluding with themselves to interfere in the election and to hamstring a presidency. With Letitia James, falsified business documents and inflated values to get better loan terms. She allegedly committed mortgage fraud to get better loan terms. And then once again, Ambassador Bolton, how dare he have classified documents at Mar-a-Lago? That's reckless. Oops, I may have the same thing at my house. It's almost comical. Send in the clowns.
Yeah.
Because they just keep doing the things that they are so pious about.
We got a second half hour coming up. I want you to join us by giving us a call at 1-800-684-3110. If you don't get us on your local station or wherever you listen to us, find us broadcasting live every day, 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern time at ACLJ.org, YouTube, however you get your podcasts, we're there. You can listen to it live, of course, later on. Most of you listen later on. And I got to give it up to Rick Grenell. Going mainstream on us today. This morning,
right.
CBS This Morning, out there with Gail and everybody. Pretty fun to watch. Yeah, announcing the Kennedy Center Honors will be on CBS. Be right back.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
Freedom.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Second half hour, Seculo. It's here. Will Haynes is joining me in studio. You didn't catch, my dad was on earlier. If you want to hear more about the Comey situation, we'll talk about it still now. But if you want to have kind of a deep dive, I encourage you to go back when the show is over and go listen to his segment, because it was very informative, very interesting. And of course, we are also talking about a lot of the issues of the day. There are not only a lot of prosecutions happening, not only there a lot of things happening. I did mention in the previous segment, I think this look could be sort of your mainstreaming of what's going on and sort of the calming down in the media landscape. And we'll talk to Rick Grenell probably tomorrow earlier next week, because he was on this morning, CBS this morning, with all the panel, all the hosts, to announce that the Kennedy Center Honors, which of course has been sadly mistreated, I feel like, over the last year, as Rick has started to really put together what I think is going to be an incredible show with some great guests, Sylvester Stallone, Kiss, Gloria Gaynor, just a who's who. It's going to be a great moment for the arts. George Strait, but CBS announces, hey, the liberal kind of press wants to go after it, but hey, we'd like to air that. Because we think, why? It's going to bring ratings. That's right, why.
Exactly. Because it's going to actually be people that the mass majority of Americans want to see.
Have heard of.
Yeah, once again, it's not going to be this list of people you've never heard of that I'm sure are great artists and great at their craft, but the times that the art world gets so out of touch with what Americans value, you start to end up with a Kennedy Center that was failing, that was not able to cover their budget shortfalls, that was falling apart. And so when you start putting together...
Look, they're still working on it. Yeah.
Programming that people would like to see and honoring people that Americans actually enjoy, you start to see things a little differently. Yeah. And then you also see the networks be like, hey, can we... air that? Could we have that?
CBS doing that. Of course, CBS in Paramount and all that whole situation has been very interesting to watch over the last year. But I'm excited for this. I'm excited to see Rick on the couch there. When usually you turn on, I see Rick on the couch. He's either with us or with Newsmax or something like that.
Right.
Kind of the typical one. I was like, I'm watching him on CBS, of course, answering hard questions. They didn't just let it slide here, but they did announce that it was going to be there and it's going to be hosted by President Trump. We'll talk about that, I'm sure, with Rick tomorrow. Let's go ahead and take another call, one call real quick before we go to break. Let's go to Deborah in Georgia, who is watching on the Salem News Channel. Go ahead.
Hello. I used to listen to your dad a long time ago, and I enjoyed his show like I enjoy yours. I think it's about time that Comey and all the others were indicted for the stuff they put President Trump through. I voted for President Trump 3 times, and I'd vote for him again. And it's just so much hate in this world, and I can't see why the Democrats can't open their eyes and see what they're doing. I just don't understand it all.
Well,
I mean, I agree with a lot of what you're saying, Deborah. I was going to let you take it, but the point, we did hear about this grand conspiracy, this treasonous conspiracy, and we saw how all these parts were working together. That to some degree as well, yes, we're excited that there's going to be some justice, some accountability, because we lived through it. It was tough. It was a long 4 years, even though he was the president. Just seeing how the deep state was constantly trying to take him down, constantly trying to make sure he was an ineffective president. And what we're seeing is now maybe just a shimmer of hope at some justice. But once again, there's a lot of bad actors out there that we're not even talking about that may have or may not have charges pending against them, but they're not necessarily coming today. And that clock will run out at some point.
Phone lines are open for you. You've got 3 lines open at 1-800-684-3110. I'd love to pack the calls and just take calls for the rest of the show.
Let's do it.
We got 2 segments. Free open calls Thursday, Will. That's what they call it. It rolls off the tongue. Straight to jail.
That's the third time you've said it.
I know.
It's
got that call. That's all I can think of.
It's a good meme.
Yeah. No. Undercooked fish. Straight to jail. Overcooked chicken.
Also straight to jail.
Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Hope we bring a little light to your day as we cover the news. And again, support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. Great time to do it as we head towards the holidays. Be a part of the team right now, or you can sign the petition also at aclj.org/sign. Be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Secular, I do want to take your phone calls today. I love to pack the lines. Right now we got four lines open. So I saw Pat. He said, really, you're going to take calls only? He got very excited. Well, I can't take all the calls only if there's no call. So right now we got a couple calls on hold. We'll do our best to get to those as well as some others. And there was that, it happened, you know, right as we were going on the air yesterday. There was that shooting that happened in the ICE facility in Texas. And we had Ted Cruz come out, make some statements. And of course, it seems like another just horribly tragic situation where someone who was very unwell was trying to commit a crime against ICE officials, and not that that's justified. Obviously, that's horrendous, but couldn't even successfully accomplish that. Actually took out probably the people he was trying to quote-unquote save.
Right. Well, and the reality of this is another indication of political violence. This is trails
inspired
off of
rhetoric.
What we've seen is what they did in LA with riots, burning cars, all trying to stop ICE activity. You've seen it around the country, the protests that weren't just protest of words, that got in many places not a peaceful assembly, as is guaranteed by the Constitution. And this, once again, you're just seeing this rhetoric of the horrific things they're saying about ICE in general, and those that work for the government, that put their lives on the line, that are putting in these dangerous situations. Now you're seeing people trying to assassinate members of federal law enforcement.
Yeah, I mean, look, the ICE situation has been something that's been very heated, very discussed. And look, we've told you, we've kind of a nuanced view on it here at the ACLJ of what's going on, how it should be treated. Who are they going after? You know, there's the whole alligator Alcatraz, and that went back and forth of what that situation looked like. And I told you, if I thought that was actually Alcatraz, if we were talking about creating something that was kind of gimmicky, like what they were branding as that, and we were talking about sending the worst of the worst, the criminals, the people who were doing just the worst atrocious crimes to somewhere like an Alcatraz, more power to you. When it became it's going to be a facility to get people in and out of for ICE and for immigration, sure, there's going to be a mix of very bad actors involved, and I think those need to be taken care of. But there's then the other side of it, which is people that, sure, were here illegally. And I saw Tom Homan saying, look, anyone who's here illegally is here illegally. It doesn't really matter, you know, why. But to me, there is a difference in the way you treat someone who's been here for 15 years working and doing all these things, has family here, than someone who's coming here to specifically commit crime. When I mean violent crime or drug traffic. How you handle that, whole different situation. I would love to take your calls, though, 1-800-684-3110. But the rhetoric is the problem here, because the people that say it are not the people who commit the crimes. You're inspiring people. You're almost giving permission to people who are already probably very unwell.
And they're just looking for something.
They're looking for something, and you've just told them that this is the worst thing ever. You've just told them that President Trump is Hitler. You've told them these things, the nature of those beasts. And the problem is, when you do that, you're forgetting that maybe people can't read between the lines of what you're saying. And that, though I completely disagree with your commentary, that it does, that it could inspire people to do very, very awful things. We've seen that now over the last 2 years, and even over the last few weeks. So the rhetoric does have to change. You've never really heard that kind of rhetoric coming from us. I've been very, very careful on the words that we say. I've done at least, I've tried to do the best job as we can. Hopefully it's not like John Bolton, where they're going to go, well, look at all the horrible things Logan has said. I don't think you'll find them. Maybe you will. But we've been pretty careful, because I do believe that we have to keep humanity in check. We have to keep the human side of this in check, that it can't just be, you know, hate rhetoric, hate rhetoric, hate rhetoric, to the point of where you start inspiring not only violence, but violence and murder. Or you start inspiring even, you know, worse, mass murder, things like that. And hopefully we are going to see a change in tune. Doesn't feel that way right now, but you never know what can happen right now. And I do want to take some calls on this. And take some calls, obviously, on the situation involving either Letitia James or James Comey. I know a lot of you have questions or comments about that. We have two lines open at 1-800-684-3110. Let's jump over to Joseph, who is calling from Florida, who's watching on Pluto TV. I assume that's probably on the Salem News Channel, where we're on live each and every day for free. Obviously, all of our platforms are free, YouTube, ACLJ.org. But that's a great one. If you have a TV, smart TV that maybe has Pluto or any of these, you can just go to Salem News Channel, and we broadcast there live 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern time. Go ahead there, Joseph.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Love Pluto. Love it's free. So I used to be a DOD, Department of Defense contractor, and I'm not really sure, but I was always told that when it came to fraud, there's no statute of limitations. And I've heard with Hunter Biden, who committed fraud allegedly on his taxes, Letitia James, who's talking about fraud. So I don't know. You guys have good lawyers. You ought to look into it.
Go ahead.
I'm under the impression that fraud has no statute of limitations.
All right, Joseph. Well, we do have an incredible team of lawyers. And I'm sure a lot of them are listening right now. So you know what, guys? Text me, hit me up with the information. Then we can probably pull it up, but I want to make sure that we're doing it correctly here.
Well, the statute of limitations for mortgage fraud cases is typically 10 years. Obviously, individual statutes carry different statute of limitations. Some are shorter, some are longer, some have no statute of limitations. But it does appear that mortgage fraud, as what we would be talking about in the case of Letitia James, would be about 10 years. But there's also... sometimes when that actually starts, or if it while the mortgage is still active, maybe there could be variance to the whole situation too. If you think about other factors that play into a crime like that, or any other fraud, where if someone is continuing to carry out the fraud, then the crime is not completed. There could be arguments by a prosecutor in situations like that where you may have started the act at this point, but it didn't ever stop. Therefore, the statute of limitations has not run yet. So there's things like that, that there are limits, but then a lot of times in the law, there are extenuating circumstances.
Richard,
that
10 continue. Years on a 30-year mortgage? That's a good comment.
Yeah.
I like that comment.
That's a solid comment.
Solid comment. Give it up. A little hand clap for who was it? I said it. Richard. Richard, good for you on YouTube. there you go. I like that. Phone lines, again, are still open. And I told you I want to take some calls. Let's keep it going. We've got 3 minutes left in this segment. In the next segment, we're going to pack it up with calls. It's going to be a lot of fun. Let's go to Susan in Vermont, watching also on a Roku device. I don't know what she's watching on, but you know what? Good enough for me. Go ahead, Susan.
Hi.
Hello, hello.
I'm watching the Salem News Channel. It's awesome. Great conversation. We're getting the first rain in Vermont we've had in like 3 months. And what a ray of sunshine. That Comey's going to be indicted. The next most important is going to hit George Soros. with RICO charges and shut his operation down. Honest to God, he is criminally evil.
Well, Susan, a lot of people have issues with George Soros. And look, some of the George Soros foundations have been taking ads out against us. So I can't say necessarily that I disagree with the fact that, they put together a lot of situations. I don't know how much specifically the guy himself is involved at this point. He's a very old man.
His son has mostly taken over the operations.
So I don't know what's
going
to happen there. But Susan, sounds like you're very overwhelmed with what's happening in Vermont. Also, congratulations on the rain.
Yeah, that's great. Well, and she was referring to the fact that DOJ has instructed more than half a dozen U.S. attorneys to start looking into groups funded by George Soros and his Open Society Foundation. And that is in relation to the fact that there are allegations that a lot of the protest funding, a lot of these things in this country may stem from Soros dollars. And if there is a RICO operation there, or there's something to that nature, that it should be investigated. Now, whether or not that goes anywhere, that is very early stages of something like that. And I know a lot of times the easy thing is like, oh, all the protests are funded by Soros. In reality, they may be by a bunch of different groups. And so I think what the DOJ may be looking at is if there's a common source for funding when it comes to nonprofits or activist groups that are funding and helping stage and set up these protests that end up, in many cases, opening the door to violence, to riot, to burning cars in the streets and things of that nature. So I think the DOJ looking at it is something that is probably welcomed, but I would say we are a long way away from seeing anything like that really coming to fruition.
Hey, we got 1 minute left in this segment. When we get back, we're going to take right now, it looks like 5 calls at least, maybe 6, if you call in right now, 1-800-684-3110. I like hearing from you in these situations. And of course, if you have questions involving this or any of the topics that have happened the last couple of weeks, I'm happy to talk about it. Or, of course, the work of the ACLJ, which I'm more than happy to talk about. I'd love to talk about that ad nauseum. Just continue to talk about the great work our organization does, whether that's in the law, whether it's in the courtroom, whether that's on your television screen, whether that's in social media. Such an incredible team here in our Nashville office, incredible team in our Washington, D.C. office. It's continuing to grow. That's only because of people like you. We cannot be on the top of everything. We can't be the top technology. We can't be in the top broadcasting. We can't be the top legal organization without your support. We are 100% funded by you, the individual donor. Be a part of that team right now. Go to aclj.org. And if you can't right now, sign the petition. Just get involved in the 3 different ways you can do it. Check out the great content. We'll be right back with your calls and comments coming up.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
All right, final segment of the day. We got five calls, maybe six calls. Can we do it? Yes, we can, Will. That was that was what Barack Obama would say. That's what Bob the Builder would say.
Yes.
I don't know who you trust more. I don't know the background of Bob the Builder. He may not be the most trustworthy in
of builders. I don't know.
I don't know what he does in the construction business.
Don't know how long his buildings stand.
Let's continue on.
Let's do it.
We're going to go. Let's go in order. Why not? We're going to order those who called in. Pat, California, watching on YouTube. Go ahead, Pat.
Hey, Logan and Will, you guys are doing yeoman's work over there. Thank you for all your hard work. And, I just wanted to say regarding, you know, those who commit murder and crimes, they deserve to face the consequences, and they are to be pitied simultaneously. And before, you know, they commit more crimes, it's up to us to be agents of the gospel and mercy and to put on the full armor of God like I feel like you guys are doing. And we all know that, you know, you can't legislate morality, but you can pass laws and uphold laws that prevent sin. So do you guys think that with Comey, he will really, I mean, my feeling is these guys always end up getting embarrassed and they get a slap on the wrist. And do you think there's really going to be a consequence to this guy besides him going out and writing a book?
Doing a tour. You know, if this wasn't a President Trump administration, I would say I find it unlikely that anything would happen. Now, I do believe you may be shooting too high for what you expect the consequences to be. I think we've talked about that before. What is the top consequences for this? Will it be jail time? Will it be a fine? What could it look like? I don't think this is going to jail for life. I don't believe that is going to be on the table. I'm sure there'll be some kind of deal worked out. But in terms of the public opinion, I understand feeling that way, that it usually ends up like a slap on the wrist, and it does feel that way. And I would feel that way if it wasn't for who I know is in charge right now.
That's right. And when you're talking about perjury before Congress, it's like a 5-year maximum penalty when it comes to what he could be facing here. So the fact of the matter, and that's what we were kind of talking about earlier, is that, yes, this is in relation to all the crimes that he oversaw and all of the way he subverted the government and the presidency and weaponized his office. But what it appears from the reporting they are attempting to get an indictment on isn't something that would fully fit what we feel like what he unleashed on this country should be that type of penalty. So I think that's why you also have to temper your expectations a little bit and think about what justice looks like. Also, it's out of the hands of the DOJ, other than the fact that they will prosecute it. It still is up to the jury to convict. They have to make their case. So there's a lot of different ways this could go going forward.
All right. Thank you so much for calling, Pat. We're going to take some more phone calls. Fox News right now is covering, Will, the breaking news that Hershey won a lawsuit over their Halloween candy. I would like to do some research. Tell me what that is. Is it that they sued saying the pumpkin doesn't look
pumpkin-y enough?
Pumpkin enough? Is that really talking about on the news? Sure. We got a big, busy day on the news. Let's go to Mike, who's calling in Tennessee, watching on YouTube. Mike, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I was calling to talk to you about, you know, the current attacks on the government from what seems to be the left side, the radical left side. I believe a lot of this is a double-edged sword. Number one, they're stopping the government from doing a job that needs to be done, which is get the illegals out of the country. And at the same time, they're being pushed by, I believe, the Democrats are pushing them so they can slow it down enough so when election time rolls around, if there's anybody left, they know that the illegals are automatically going to vote for the Democrats because of what they've done for them.
Look, we know, Mike, that the election issues have always come off when you really look at what the left has to do. And I say this not dramatically. I don't even say this jokingly. The cultural and racial push that they do often comes off so egregious and so close. When you actually look at the reasons why they say there should not be voter ID, the reasons why there should not be some of these situations, why they don't believe in a tighter border or anything like that, you are right. It's all politics. It's all politics based around race and ethnicity and location. It never has to do with the individual person. It's about, you know, giving wide swaths of people. It's why when they said, can you believe how many people voted for President Trump? More ever in the African-American community, more ever in the Latin community. The way that that's even tracked has just because those have been assumed Democrat. Because why? Because they pander. And they also honestly create, when the eyes are open to realize what they're doing, it becomes much clearer. Okay. Thank you so much, though, Mike, for calling here in Tennessee. All right. Should we take some more calls?
Yeah, let's go to more phone calls. Let's see what we got next, Logan.
All right. Let's go to Liz in Texas. Listen on the radio. Go ahead.
Hi. I am actually a teacher, and I've gotten a lot of these kids that came up with the caravans in my classroom, so you've got to hear me out on this. When you give an inch and say, we got to treat these people who've come here and worked and all that differently than the ones who are doing crimes, you need to understand they're all doing crimes, because you have to understand these ones who are over here working, they're helping the other ones get here too. And I'm getting kids in my classroom over the last 6 years, and I'm going to get really emotional. I've had these little girls come up by coyotes. It's been raped multiple times on the way up. And the problem at the border is really the human trafficking element.
Sure.
And it's the kids who are suffering.
Liz, I obviously can't speak into that. I will not disagree with you on that. I will not say that this isn't something we need to be really taking seriously. Of course we should be. When it comes to human trafficking, take it the most seriously. That's why we have to straighten, you know, really get the border in check here. And I'm not calling against that. I'm just talking about in the way the rhetoric has taken place, even from both sides of this. When you have these sort of attacks on an ICE facility, it is because the rhetoric is not necessarily always spreading lies, but it's also spreading a different kind of emotion. When you have a parody video show up on the Department of Homeland Security's X account, where though I did think it was funny and I laughed, I'll be honest, to the theme to Pokemon, where you got to catch them all. And then you have a situation where there's people getting shot in an ICE facility because they thought that was, they took that too far and thought it was inappropriate or whatever it may be. And of course the left is saying, look how horrible this is. Both sides, I'm not saying anyone is responsible or not responsible, including kids in your classroom. I feel horrible about that, of course.
Well, and I think also to the point, there's a lot, I feel like a big difference between what illegal immigration to this country, which was not appropriate, not the way that we should have handled it from decades ago, to the last Biden administration and the way it became so out of control. And it increased the criminal activity because the coyotes and the cartels found it to be more profitable.
Hey, I didn't realize we only had a minute left. Hey, can we put Ray up real quick? Ray, you were on hold for a little while. The other two, I'm sorry, Jill and Jim, we're not going to get to you today. Ray, go ahead quickly with your comments. You got like 20 seconds. Ray, you there?
Gutfeld, and yeah, I saw Rick Grenell on Gutfeld, and I invited Gutfeld to go to the Kennedy for a week. And maybe having grassroots tip for show, like action tip and link. We could all donate prayer and join a prayer group. And I just wonder what happened to the kids' videos you had.
Yeah, thank you, Ray. I appreciate that. We still have those kids' videos up there. You can go watch our old videos. We don't produce near as many now that kids have been back to school. But you know what? Maybe we'll bring that back, Ray. Thank you so much. You can obviously support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. Keep it going. Thank you so much for being a part of the show today and calling in. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.